Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is our gospel reading from John chapter 15. I'd like to just remind you of and read again for you from verse 9, but as a literal translation from the original Greek, where Jesus said to his disciples on the night of his arrest, "Just as the Father loved me, so also I have loved you. Remain and live in my love." This is our text. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We just sang, "Jesus, thy boundless love to me." A love without any boundaries. What is that like? Well, maybe that's a little too deep, too much too fast for us to contemplate. So let's begin with a bit more basic question. Just simply, what do you think of when you hear the word love? Do you think of a couple walking hand in hand on the beach? Or a bride and a groom all dressed up and making vows to each other? Do you think of Valentine's Day with chocolates in the heart-shaped box or a dozen red roses? Or is it just simply a warm, fuzzy feeling in your stomach? In our gospel reading today, Jesus leads all of us to understand that if any of that, if that is as deep as your thinking goes when you hear the word love, then you, my friends, are not even scratching the surface of what true love is. Jesus, though, takes our hearts, minds, souls, our entire being by the hand here this morning, and he leads us down into the depths of true love so that we can fully understand both the source and the sustaining power of love, as well as the motivation of our Christian love. That is, the love that is modeled after the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, with Jesus, he says in verse 9 that the proper understanding of true love begins entirely separated from you and me, even from this entire planet. It begins with God the Father and his love for Jesus. "Just as the Father loved me," Jesus says. Now, if you really think about that, already there, we have entered into the realm of what I'm calling incomprehensible love. Because it is looking into a relationship that, frankly, no human being can or ever will be able to comprehend. The interpersonal relationship of the one true triune God, the three persons of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and yet always and only one true God. How is it that God the Father loves God the Son? They are undivided in their very nature, even while they are distinguishable in their person. And I know already in my saying that, our measly human brains begin to hurt, right? But suffice it to say that there is no love, no love in the entire universe greater than the Father's love for Jesus, his Son. And now, Jesus says, "Just as the Father loved me, so also I have loved you." So, what does this love that Jesus has for you and me look like? How would Jesus define that love? According to John 3:16, Jesus defines defined love not with words, but with actions. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In fact, earlier on the very same night of our text today, on Maundy Thursday in the upper room, as Jesus and his disciples were gathering to celebrate the Passover supper for the very last time together, John tells us in chapter 13, verses 1 and 5, having loved his own who were in the world, Jesus loved them to the end. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Just try to comprehend that. For Jesus, love meant that the very creator of the universe would bend down before those whom he created, and he would serve them by washing their dirty feet. Incomprehensible, right? I know some of you are thinking about the Princess Bride. Inconceivable. I saw your smiles, I can tell. Similar. And that's not all of it. In 1 John 4, verse 10, we are told, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, a big fancy word that means substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. Now there you have it. That's taking us into the truly incomprehensible nature of God the Father's and God the Son's love. First, the fact that God the Father would actually even consider a sin-fallen, sin-corrupted world worthy of sending his only begotten Son into it to suffer and to die for that miserable mess of humanity is beyond mind-boggling, isn't it? And then that Jesus would willingly agree to die for us, whom Romans 5, verses 6 through 10 describes as being weak, ungodly, sinners, enemies of God. Again, incomprehensible. I mean, he loved you and me and all of mankind enough to put aside all of the glory, all of the riches of heaven as the eternal Son of God, number one, to become a human being in this perverted and sin-corrupted world. And then, number two, to actually become sin. That is, he took upon himself your sin, my sin, the sin of all souls ever to live on this earth, and he did it on the cross. And then number three, he endured extreme torture. He underwent more shame, more ridicule than you or I can ever imagine. And number four, this part, it's hard for me to even say. It's so mind-boggling. He found joy, according to Hebrews 12:2. He found joy in being run through with spikes in his hands and his feet to hang on the cross, to die for you and for me. Verse 13 in our text says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus did all of that for you. Just as the Father loved me, so also I have loved you. So how does Jesus define love? It's about so much more than just words. To Jesus, love means doing. It means sacrifice. sacrificing his time, energy, personal comfort, even sacrificing his very life for those who are unlovable. And I'm not trying to be mean, I'm just being honest. You and I will never be able to comprehend that love, ever. He said in verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Remember, in our sin, we were weak enemies of God. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, according to Ephesians 2, verse 1. So even if we had wanted to, we couldn't choose him. You can't choose to belong to Jesus. He chooses you. And neither could his disciples, even though they sure talked as if they thought they could. Remember? They even said that night that they would make any sacrifice for Jesus, that they would even die with him. But we all know how well that turned out, don't we? Just like us, the disciples could certainly talk the talk. But when it came time for sacrifice, time to actually put their lives on the line, even their words failed miserably. "I don't know the man. I've never known the man. I don't know the man," Peter said. No, Jesus didn't choose to love his disciples because they loved him first. He chose them because he loved them as the Father had loved him. Unconditionally. Incomprehensibly. And friends, Jesus chooses you. You who were no more lovable, no more reliable than Peter. You who also bail when it's time to tell your friends right out loud, right there when they are mocking him, "I love Jesus." Or when your family tries to guilt you, perhaps, into skipping worship for an event that, you know, can just as easily take place later on in the day. Or when your friend says that, "Oh, no, you can still say, you can still be a Christian that, Jesus didn't really mean it when he said things like, homosexuality or fibbing or having sex outside of marriage or cheating on a test is a sin." And you then don't speak of your love for Jesus, but you just go along with them. Yes, these are the times when our talk about loving Jesus is just as cheap as it was for the disciples in our text today. So let's just face the facts. We aren't lovable either. But Jesus said, all the way to the cross, all the way to the grave, "I love you. Your sins are forgiven." In fact, to his people in every single age, every single time, Jesus says, "I love you. Here's some fish and bread. I love you. Get up and walk. I love you. I lay down my life for you. You are my friend." So, fellow friends in Christ Jesus, what is love to you now? How do you define love, knowing and believing that Jesus loves you with his incomprehensible love? How do you and I love? Well, first of all, we love because God commands us to love. Jesus' word in verse 9 that is often translated as abide, it's an imperative, that is, a command. In the original Greek, the word is meno, which means to remain, to live, to stay. So Jesus commands you and me to do the impossible. to meno, to live, to stay, to remain in His love. It's not an option. If it were, He definitely would not have repeated it again in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. On top of that, Jesus says that the way that His disciples love others, whether it's loving for selfish reasons like the rest of the world loves, or whether it's loving others with Jesus' incomprehensible love, that this is going to be how the world truly knows that they, that you and I, are Jesus' disciples. So how do we love? We love as Jesus loved. That's no small task. But this is what Jesus has made us to be. This is what Jesus gives us the ability to do. He gives us His incomprehensible love in our baptism, in His perfect word, in His body and blood given and shed, and right here at this altar. Why? To forgive us, yes. To make us His new creation, yep. And also to strengthen us so that we actually can now love the unlovable as Jesus has loved us. So that we can serve all people as Jesus has served us. That's what it means when we love. We love by sacrifice. We love not just by words, but by doing. We love by laying down our lives for others. Now, not necessarily literally, because only Jesus, of course, could lay down His life to save others. But as we give of our time, our comforts, the talents that God has given us, and our treasures, we are then laying down our lives in love for others. So what does this look like right here? Right now. Well, of course, the options are too many to count. But for example, you walk or you drive around your neighborhood, your community, down your block. You open up your eyes and your ears at work, at school, within your family. And you ask, you just simply ask yourself, what is it that this person needs? What is he struggling with? How is it that she is hurting right now? And then you ask God to lead you, to help you reach out to that person in love. Even when the devil is tempting you not to. And you share Christ's incomprehensible love with him, with her, with them, with everyone else in between. By doing and by saying. This is all included, isn't it, in the mission that Christ has given us here at Mount Calvary Lutheran Church? I mean, folks, what's our mission here? Sharing God's word, serving all. We want to practice a love that doesn't just desire, but actually gives. We love not to get something, but to do something. So maybe, here's an idea, maybe instead of saying, I love you, to people, we should say, what can I do for you? After all, love without sacrifice is nothing. Here's an example. There was a princess whose daughter was deathly ill with diphtheria. Because of that, the mother was forbidden to kiss the child because of the almost certain danger of contracting the disease. In one of the many moments of pain for that child, this mother, she was so distressed that she took her daughter in her arms and soothed her into quietness. The daughter even looked up into her mother's eyes and said through her tears, "Mama, kiss me." This was too much for the princess to take. She took her daughter, her child, pressed her against her body, and kissed her. It literally was a kiss of death. But that's love. Making the sacrifice without counting the cost. Whom do you and I love? Anyone for whom we sacrifice is someone we love. Starting with our spouses, with our children, with our parents, with our friends. And we can love people whom we don't even know, can't we? I mean, how many people donate money, for example, to bring relief to those caught in natural disasters across the country or the world? That is sacrificial love. And we also love the unlovable. Oh, yeah, Pastor, that's getting a little bit too tough, okay? No, that's it. We love those who do not love us. We love as we do deeds to help and serve others in the name of Jesus. And always we do it, why? Because Jesus loved us first. Loving in this way, sacrificially, as Jesus loved us, it's not easy. It's hard. It takes effort, practice, concentration. It takes open eyes and ears to know the needs of those around us. But we can all do it. Every one of us. For two reasons. First, because Jesus has first loved us in his incomprehensible love. And second, because by his power, by his grace, which is alive and active within us, we remain, we stay, we live in his love as we love one another. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.